And to me, what I'm seeing isn't like that. It's that's the crescendo. That as it goes, as it builds. And you look at weather this year, and then last year, and the year before, and you start going back 5-10 years, and it is escalating incredibly right now. And if it continues to, you know, what's his name, Gordon Michael Scallion talking about the earth changes many, many years ago, and you could Google that too to see a lot of the effects of not only the global warming and the elevated water levels, but also the climatic changes, the earthquakes, all those things, which are happening right now. But I also believe that we have a tremendous amount of ability to affect all of that. Our psyche, our consciousness, our group consciousness, our thoughts, our outside mirrors our inside. So the more chaotic we are inside, the more we're going to mirror that, and the more calm, centered, and peaceful we are inside, the more our environment is going to mirror that. So to me, I see that as something that people can do. Besides their politicians and writing letters, and it amazed me because people get real caught up on writing letters to politicians, but so few actually do. And to me, I would say every person who writes a letter to a congressman, a senator, a president, write a second one to CNN, to Fox News, to their local news station, because it's really the media that politicians seem to pay attention to.
And it seems as if, you know, we've talked about that before also on the show here, about how, and we've had people come on the show before that have kind of said the same things, like, part of the reason we have such chaos as far as nature's concerned here on this blue and green ball floating around that we live on is it's not always, you know, about the man-made things, I should say. It's about our attitudes, too, that we are married to the earth as much as the earth is married to us, as us being
right
here.
And quantum physics, string theory, is proving that on a scientific level on a daily basis. You know, what was once thought as woo-woo comments is now being scientifically proven.
And Jill,
you know how ignorant someone is. Someone said that Bush made this happen. Okay? Made the weather happen. How can Bush make the weather happen? You know?
Well, there is a lot that can be manipulated through the chemical trails that are in the atmosphere.
I'm sorry?
So there is a lot about the weather that can be man-made manipulated by the chemtrails in the atmosphere.
I
Googled chemtrails once, and the amount of information that was there was simply staggering. If people listening haven't done that, I would encourage them to do it.
Well, we do see...
I feel some things are created by mankind with the atmosphere and some of the things that go on above. I mean, it even actually stated when, after 9/11, when the planes were grounded for a period of time.
Oh, and talk about 9/11. I'm sorry?
Go ahead. No, I was going to finish about, during with the planes being grounded for a period of time, you had a total different movement of the atmospheric pressure above. And then when the planes started flying again, all the, all the different types that were allowed, you had seen changes in the atmosphere. It's like when you... It's like air is like with the water, a flat surface of water. You know, when you have a flat piece of water and all of a sudden you drop a stone, you get a ripple effect. It's the same thing with the air above you. You throw up different things in the air like jets and planes, rocket ships and bombs and stuff like that. You know, you're disrupting the atmosphere. So that's, I think, what Scott was talking about. I have to agree
with that. You bet. And, you know, I've taken a few pilot's lessons to get my license because our flying just amazes me, but there are flight paths that you follow. Whether you're a little plane or you're a big plane, you follow the flight path. No matter what part of the country you're in, you look up in the sky and you see these huge chemtrails that aren't on any known flight path. Nor is there any reason for them to be there from an airline perspective.
But why would...
Right. Now, in Vegas, we deal with these chemtrails a lot. It's pretty well known with those people who are in the know. All you have to do is look up. Every time you see the checkerboard's pattern in the sky, there's chemtrails being dropped. There have been tremendous reports of what's dropping on people's cars. And I've observed that within three days of the chemtrails, and a beautiful spring-type day is a perfect time for them to do the chemtrails, because people will be out in full force trying to enjoy the weather. They do these chemtrails, and 3 days later, everybody's hacking and coughing with the most egregious, they think it's the flu or a cold, but I've been watching the weather and I know when the chemtrails are out because I pay attention to it. 3 days to the day, these people are walking around and everybody, supposedly everybody has a cold. Well, it's not a cold, not when you've seen the chemtrails out.
But why would they
have breathing
this stuff? The science is something that is observable and repeatable. And so when you watch this happen over and over, cause and effect, if it happens once, you say good theory. If it happens 10 times, you say there's something to this.
That's true. Did we have a chemtrail that come over South Florida? I want to know, because I came down with the flu last week.
I know you were sick this week.
Well, you look up in the sky, homie, and you see if it looks like there's a crisscross pattern, like a checkerboard square. And that's oftentimes when the chemtrails are being deposited. You can sometimes see them coming out of the airplanes.
Okay, well, that was over a week ago, so I can't go back there and look, okay? I can't go around the corner and check it out, all right?
We get chemtrails.
But maybe
here.
Perhaps somebody listening or somebody on the chat room may be familiar with this from that area.
Well, you look at the sky and you see a plane. And you see no big white tail coming out of the back of it. And you watch 100 planes, and none of them have this big white tail coming out the back. And then you look up, and you see a plane that looks like a pin dot. I mean, it is tiny. It is way up there. And you see this trail going behind it that is miles and miles and miles long. There is no need for that. There is no reason for it.
It just sits there in the sky. It doesn't move. Doesn't evaporate. It just sits there. So basically that's a chemical, because there's a friend of mine that works for an airline and said to me that a chemtrail, there's a difference between a chemtrail and a comtrail. A comtrail is basically what comes out of the tail plane of itself, which is basically leftovers from the exhaust system. And he says that a chemtrail is actually what's basically an experimental drug that is placed into the sky, and they use it on us to see how we would respond to the scent in the air, and basically that's why they fly so high, so then it spreads around everywhere, not just in local areas. We get it here quite often in this area because we're close to the military base. And a lot of our people out in this area get sick all the time. And the only way that you can stop that is I get people to take an antioxidant, which basically cleans up the liver. As long as you are breathing the chemicals in the air, your liver is affected. And if you're sick, especially with homie, for example, you can actually do a liver cleansing, and that'll clean you up really quick, and you won't get sick.
So it's a matter, really. I mean,
you know what? I agree upon that with the liver cleansing.
No, yeah, it works.
That I believe. I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
Well, let's go on to something else. I got something to talk about.
Ooh.
I got a question in the chat room. Let's ask everybody some questions. You know, in prophecy and dealing with God and a lot of the prophetic works, like the Holy Bible.
But I want to say something. Homie, you say you get these messages from God, right?
Yeah.
God talks to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are some of the messages?
Well, let's go on to that. We'll get to that a little bit later. We got 2 hours here.
See, I'm not going to that party yet. It's getting too interesting, and I'm supposed to be at a 60th birthday party for one of my clients.
Yeah, she's supposed to be at the birthday party tonight.
It's both.
Anyway, no. Yeah, Sherry in the chat room has heard us talk about the number 3 on your show, Jill.
Okay.
And she wanted to know what that number 3, she's talking about the number 3 again. She wants to know about this number 3. Now, we know that, you know, let's ask each one of us here what they feel about the numerology with God and what they think about the number 3, maybe the number 7, maybe the number 11, and a few other things. How about if we start with you, Jill? What are your feelings on certain
things? Well, my number is the 11, and those are my numbers. 11-11, and whenever a lot of people, they may dream or they may see the number every time they want a question answered, or they're thinking of something and all of a sudden the number appears and it's called the sign. And they should always pay attention to the sign, because the signs are usually right, 99% of the time. So I always tell people, whenever they see the number 1111, you know, a lot of people have seen that, like, you can look at the clock, all of a sudden it's 11:11, you could be driving to see the number 11, you know, and whenever they want to ask a question, or it's someone above trying to give them a confirmation as well.
Now,
do you ever see the number 11:11?
Who, me? I see the number 11, I see the number 3, I see the number 7.
What do you
say
about
six.
The number 3?
Who, me? About the what is who says about the number 3?
No, you.
Oh, about me? Okay. The number 3, you know, what I found out, what that number in numerology with God and spirituality, said, the number is used a lot from God in talking to man on many different aspects of life. It's also in the many prophecies that are written about our lives. When you even look at recent prophecies of our lifetime, even the past 6 years, how the number 3 appears a lot in prophecies. It's just a very spiritual number. As a matter of fact, God uses it a lot as giving backing to something. I get messages from God, and how I talk to God, how I get His confirmation. He uses that number with me, the number 3 or 333 or 333. So when I ask God a question, and I feel when I've got to present it to mankind or humanity, and since I wrote a book about prophecies with a divine answer, I have asked him to use that number 3 many a times. And it has appeared at different times when I've had to make comments or give messages out. So that's what I consider with the number 3. And when you look at how he uses it, think about what planet we are from the sun. What day did he give, according to the Holy Bible, or what day did he give daylight to Earth, or give us day? That was the third day. And we look at all the prophets down through the history of mankind, or the sons of God, like Nostradamus, or Jesus, Moses, Noah, Daniel, Ezekiel. You'll find the number 3 all over their lives, all over the place. So it's a synonymous number with different aspects of spirituality. Just like the number 7, which is considered perfection with most people, when God uses that number. 6, as we know, is imperfection. When you look at the Holy Bible, it talks about what in the Book of Revelation, it talks about 666. And you know, it's the mark of the beast, they call it. In some aspects, mankind or humanity is his own worst enemy or his own beast for what he's done to this planet. Think about it. So, and does anybody else want to make any comments about something certain other numbers? How about you, Derek?
Well, I don't really feel the 666 is a negative number. I think it's actually a positive number because it basically talks about spirit going into balance and you're learning how to heal yourself. And basically, they're talking about heaven. And, you know, we deal with the fears, you know, what we deal with in life regarding our fears. And that's the reason why we look at a 666, that number is fears. But we also need to learn to deal with and learn to overcome those issues of fear and turning around, calm, having faith. Because no matter what number we have in our past, it still gives us a power of positive thinking. And here again, we talk about positive thinking or something else regarding that. I talked that with my students today in the classes. And I need to always talk about, you know, what we create in life and what we want. And each of us are born under certain numbers, whether it's numerology through astronomy or through, you know, what we call astrological signs. Whether that path is supposed to be ours or not, and I've had people that are astronomers and read someone and tell them, give them their birth date, you know, time they're born, the whole nine yards, and they say, this is going to happen to you, this and this and this. But not always it came exactly to the T, because basically your life is not born under the minute, it's also milliseconds. So whatever that millisecond's left, you may decide to make a change in that pattern. So a 3 doesn't always mean that it's a negative, and it's all, you know, sometimes people think 3 is a negative or that it's a bad number. A 3 really gives you a little bit of a difference. I mean, basically we talked about health earlier. And the 3 also talks about your health. You know, basically, they're basically talking about skin problems and stress-related issues. You know, and that means they be aware of the skin problems and stress-related issues when we talk about contrails. You know, all of a sudden, number came up 3. So what does that tell you? It means you need to work on that those areas to take care of yourself. Health is very common. Basically, we live with common sense. If you focus on that, you're taking care of yourself, taking care of you, taking care of family, taking care of life. The prediction is what you desire. You know, you're making your own prediction, and you are making your intent. So whether Nostradamus has made a prediction that he was saying what was going to happen in these events, I mean, basically, he's got so many things that he talked about. I remember people saying before that after the 21st century, there's nothing said what Nostradamus has spoken. There was no other words that he actually was not too sure to say that actually was going to happen in the 21st century. Well, basically, a friend of mine came up to me and said, you know, I found this book called Nostradamus Predictions for the 21st Century. Mm-hmm. And I said, what? And he said, yeah. So he gave me the book and he said, read it. See what it looks like. And I read some of it. And they're talking about the wars. They're talking about, and the book itself is talking about what we were dealing with in the past. We just talked about in the very beginning, the whole thing regarding the wars and who they're going to blame. So whether this person wrote the book, saying that Nostradamus wrote this, or they're saying that somebody else wrote this, we have to believe what feels right for us. So when everybody gives somebody a reading or tells them what's going to happen next, because we're guided and we're feeling what feels right.
Wow.
That's my thinking.
Well, we'll touch on Nostradamus a little bit what you talked about in his prophecies, okay, and what people wrote. We'll get to that in a little bit. But let's not get Scott Christensen over there and see what he has to say on the numerology bit.
Okay. Well, to me, when I first started getting into numerology, I started looking at the ancient Babylonian Hebrew Kabbalah, and those guys spent years and years and years, 10, 100, and tons of hours into deciphering the Kabbalah through a code of numbers, and then watching how those numbers popped up and what they represented. And so as I got further into study with that, part of my book, Bridging the Gap Between the Christian and Metaphysical Worlds, I talked a little bit about numerology. And based on the work of the Kabbalah, the number three represents optimism, religion, and abundance. The number three vibrates to the planet Jupiter. It represents idealism, higher education, foreign travel, and religion. Three is the number of optimism, movement, and expansion. The holy trinity of mind, body, and spirit. And so to me, that's the feeling that I associate with the vibration from the number three. You know, the number seven, you talk about that to me. Seven is spirituality, planning, and deep. The number seven vibrates the planet Neptune. It represents spirituality, sensitivity, sympathy, and mystery. You know, and then even getting into negatives, people, all of this number six is negative. Not according to study. What I found was number six vibrates to love, romance, and feelings. Number six vibrates to the planet Venus. It represents the feminine essence, compassion, and money. Is the number of love and romance. And, you know, so I think that ultimately everyone is going to find what they seek. You can look at the number three, and if your intention is to find negative things, you will find a ton of negative things happening with the number three. If instead your intent is to focus on the positive, you're going to find a ton of positive things associated with the number three. But I also believe that the number three, or any number for that matter, has its own unique vibrations. And that vibration has a certain feeling about it over and over and over and over. And to me, that's the study of numerology and how it applies. You know, for me in my own life, I used to run big companies in California. And the first company that I started running, when I got it, made $40,000 a year. And inside of 5 years, I grew it to a $26 million a year company. And part of the way that I did that is I looked at numerology of the phone number. What is the energy? What is the vibration of the phone number telling people on a subconscious or subliminal level? What are the numbers add up to? What does the address add up to? I utilized a lot of metaphysical tools in a daily practice of business and grew it from 40,000 to 26 million a year. So there's something to it. That's my take.
Okay. We have something here from Sherry, and I got to read this. In the chat room. It's about Jill. I know she is not God, but she has been so right with our predictions her whole life. I have been a fan of hers for 15 years, and she is such a real person. And if he is on the show with all of you, you must be all the same. I respect that thought as well as all of yours.
Oh, that's
great. That's what Sherry said.
That's
okay.
Very nice.
Thank you, Sherry.
And she said she can't wait to hear from all of us on her Florida show, she writes. So.
Oh, well, now you guys all have to come on the show. That is so sweet. What was her question?
We did answer a question about the feelings on the number 3, I think.
I think that was more of a comment. That was more of a comment, I think.
It was more of a comment about that, okay? But I have to talk about Scott and what he says about the numbers, how they can be negative and positive. Very true. You know, the number, like we talked about the number 3 and how I use it and how good it is to, as far as spirituality. In the prophecies where it's used as the number 3 a lot, like Nostradamus wrote about 9/11, and the number 3 appears in that a lot. 9/11 was a destructive thing in life. You talk about how many planes hit how many buildings. You had 3 planes hit 3 buildings. You had 3 states that were hit, okay, when you look at New York, Pennsylvania, and Washington, D.C., 3 areas of the world, of the United States were hit. And when you look at most of the pilots or hijackers of the planes, they were all 33 years old. So, you know, and when you look at other things, what I wrote about in my book, the original manuscript, I warned our government not to send up that shuttle. What was that, the Discovery that blew up on reentry? When you look at that, the number 3 appears about on that all over the place. It took place on February 1st of that year. That's 1 and 2 is 3. And when that went down, you find that there was 3 shuttles left. And it just goes on and on with prophecies where the number 3 appears. So it can be looked at as being negative as well. Okay? Where else do we want to go on this? Jill, do you want to talk any more on that?
I'm sorry?
Hello?
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. A lot of times people pay attention to numerology, and I love numerology. That's for sure. Astrology I love as well, but then there are times where, even with astrology, there are people born the same time, same year, same place, you know. Oh, and about astrology, too. Come around, I think it's July 26th till September 15th. That's when Venus goes into retrograde. Do you know that? All of you? That's when you really don't do anything so important.
Of course, that's a great time also, Jill, for old loves to come back on the scene, to call you or connect with you.
That's absolutely correct. And then also, there'll be a lot. I just want to say, you know, come toward, you know, I just can't wait for 2008 to come, because a lot of this, everything that's been happening in this world right now is toward the end of 2008, is all going to, like, pass, you know, and you're going to see it's going to be like, people are going to wake up and it's like a different world. It's going to be so wonderful.
Well, you're looking at the numerology there of 2007 equaling a 9, and 9 being the end of a cycle. And 2008 being a 10, being a 1, is the beginning of a new cycle. So even the numerology of the years is going hand in hand with what you're saying, Jill.
Yeah.
We got a couple of questions from the chat room. Go ahead, Jill. I don't want to cut you off. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. What's the question?
Okay, Sherry has a question about dreams. My question was about dreams. If they are intuitive, should everyone pay attention to them?
Okay, can I answer that?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Dreams, there are many times that people are very intuitive towards dreams. There are times where people that have passed that watch over you, which are called guardian angels, they'll come in your dreams and give you information. And then there are times where you'll have a dream about someone, and I always tell people, write them down, and, you'll write it, you'll date it, and then all of a sudden something happens. But if you're sitting there watching, you know, I get these phone calls or I get these questions, oh, Joe, I'm going to die in a car accident. Well, you were watching TV last night before you went to bed, and you saw on TV something that happened, and then all of a sudden it happens in your dream. That's not a psychic, like an intuitive dream, if I could say, you know. That's something that you watched before you went to bed, or you may have had a bad day at work, and something happened at work, and then all of a sudden you dream, oh, I'm getting fired. No, it's because you had a bad day at work. That doesn't mean that, your dream was intuitive. It was something that you keep in your head before you go to bed at night. And I always tell people, think positive wherever they go, not negative. Because if you think positive, positive happens. And also, like going into work, if you think positive. But a lot of times when people go to sleep worrying about something, and they're worried about their mother, or they're worried about their job, or they're worried about their finance, or they're worried about their marriage, or whatever it may be, you're going to dream about it. And that's not an intuitive dream. Intuitive, you have to put that aside. When you go to sleep with a clear mind, and always when you go to bed, you try to let everything go for the night, because it's a brand new day the next day. And you start off with a brand new day. So there are a lot of times where people have intuitive dreams, and they do happen. But like I said, if you're watching a movie or you go to the movies and you go to sleep right afterwards, of course you're going to dream about it. It may not be exactly in the same way you saw on television, but it'll be something else.
I have to chime in on that theory.
There's a lot of times where people dream about water. They'll be having a big dream and they're in the middle of the ocean. Oh, Joe, I'm going to die. No, that means life. Because water is surrounded all over the place. And, that means life. That you're going to pass.
When you talk about dreaming or thinking about somebody before you go to bed, I can say this much. The other night I was trying to work on the lotto numbers with Victor Bates.
You're not supposed to work on the lottery, homie.
I told you guys you were supposed to call me for that.
Play lottery. Or you gamble, homie. Your intuitiveness will go away.
I do touch about that stuff in the book. But I was playing with Victor that evening, and the Mega Millions, and stuff like that was up to $257 million or whatever. But the thing is, I dreamed that night that we hit the lotto. So that's exactly what you say. You got to go to bed with a clear mind. And I didn't go to bed with a clear mind that night because my mind was constantly thinking about numbers. So I went to bed that night and I dreamt about me hit the lotto. And of course I woke up in the morning and said, did I hit the lotto? I know I didn't hit the lotto because I didn't play. And it was basically what we thought about the night before, going to bed. You have to have a clear mind. That's what I wanted to try.
Can I say something? There was this woman... always dreamt of her daughter, and her daughter, she always had this dream after dream after dream that her daughter was going to pass. And it was a very frightening dream for her. And when her daughter reached six or seven years old, her daughter developed leukemia, and her daughter just recently passed. And I told this story on the air about how I told her to, her daughter loves pink balloons. And so, she said, yeah, my daughter loved pink balloons. Everything always had to be pink. Where, like my daughter loves the color blue. And so I told her she also liked rhinestones. So I told her to put rhinestones on the pink balloons and send them, and everybody should write a message, to her on the balloon and send it up in the sky. And she said, Jill, but, the weather here, it's snowing and everything. Is it going to snow tomorrow? I said, no, it won't. It'll be a beautiful day. Well, the next day, after she spoke to me, it was such a gorgeous day. It was beautiful. And they all sent their balloons up in the air. And usually balloons would, scatter. They would never go up together. And everyone sent them off, a minute after. And they all formed, and the little girl's name was Stella. May she rest in peace. And all the balloons formed a big S in the sky. It was so beautiful. And so she called me this morning, and she said, Jill, I had the best dream because she couldn't, she you know, didn't dream of her daughter after the passing, and I said, you will. And she had the most beautiful dream that her daughter gave her a kiss on the lips and said, Mommy, I'm okay up here. I'm with Grandma, you know, and her grandmother had passed. And so I said, you know something? I said, there'll be a book that you're going to have to read. And, you know, I want you to go get the book when it comes out. So we hang up the phone, and the next minute she calls me back like 10 minutes later. I'm about to leave for my radio show. And she says, Jill, you wouldn't believe this. The author of the book, Something Needlepoint. Her name, the woman's name is Maria, and the daughter's name Stella. And it's all about how the mother lost her child. You know, the child passed away. And I said, well, get in the car. It's a sign right there. Get in the car and go to the book, you know, to the book, you know, lecture. And it was all about, you know, the mother losing the child to leukemia, too. Do you believe that sign?
I believe.
Do you understand what I was saying, everyone?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are signs out there, and a lot of people do come through dreams. They come through music. They come through people, you know, and there are times, you know, and I am a big believer in this as well, that, you know, there are times that people have passed and you could look at someone and you could say, oh, my God, that looks just like my father, or a new baby's born and the baby's just like how, you know, their love of their life passed, you know, their father had passed. And, you know, the same look, the same actions, everything. Do you believe in reincarnation, everyone?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I do. Let's go stay with the dreams, because I want to go talk to Kitel on this too, because she had written a book called Dream Play, so we want to see what Kitel has to say on dreams.
Okay. Well, number one, I do agree with Jill about oftentimes we can have communication from those who've crossed over on our dreams. In fact, a lot of people absolutely get real right-on communications, but one of the things that frequently occurs with a dream, you know, I also want to take a moment and agree with both of you, because you made reference to what we're thinking about when we fall asleep. One of my fields, in addition to working with dreams and psychic things, one of my fields is hypnosis, working with people to set their intention and to create their reality, and we've had some talk today about the reality you want to create. There is so much you can do in a dream. It's incredible. Our lady on the chat room says, are all dreams intuitive? Well, I would say all dreams help you access your intuition, but I don't think all dreams are exactly what we've dreamt. As Jill has just made reference to, the water dreams, when I work with people, water is a universal symbol. And in my family, oftentimes we talked about water being money or being connected to money. And it also seems to be connected to your mindset. If your mind is clear, a lot of times you'll dream dreams that have to do with clear water. If there's a lot of money coming to you, frequently water dreams, especially clean, clear, beautiful, pleasant water, is related to money coming to you. If the water is stirred up, or if it's nasty, or if it's blackened, or something like that. Frequently, it's about stress and turmoil and trouble in your life, especially related to money. One of the other things, though, is years and years ago, a yoga teacher taught me about this. She said, everybody in the dream represents a part of you, just as with advanced metaphysics, frequently, almost everybody you encounter is related to you in some way. And if you work on your own inner work, your own inner healing, frequently the people in your life will shift. Well, we can also use the characters in our dream in the same way. If we are paying attention to who is in our dream and what they're doing, they often will reveal hidden parts of ourselves. Even if you're dreaming about John or Mary or Doug or Scott or whoever, and frequently, that person actually represents an element of your own nature. Okay, somebody's asking questions here. All right, for example, what about snakes? Yeah, what about snakes? Snakes frequently are a symbol that relate to men. They relate to men's sexuality. And oftentimes, it can be that, but it can also be the awakening of the kundalini, or your spiritual gifts awakening. Jill had something to say there. Jill?
I believe when you're dreaming about snakes, right? And if the snake, if it doesn't bite you, then you're okay. But if the snake bites you in a dream, basically that means that it's about a relationship. And usually when people are in relationships, they dream about snakes. And, you know, and if the snake bites you, that's a meaningful dream to tell you to let go of that person.
My teachings about animals is my category. I talk about an animal totem. The snakes, in my own tradition, they teach us that the snakes represent transition, health changes, and need to take care of your health more often. And also,
usually,
away your old self and beginning a new self.
Well, usually, I've had many people when they're in relationships, they dreamt about getting either almost bitten by a snake, or or bit by a snake. You know, and when you're getting bit, that means to let go of that person. It's not good for you.
Can I ask you guys a question?
This is Scott.
I have actually had a dream very recently about snakes. Now, here's the funny part. I own snakes. I actually own snakes. That's one of my little hobbies I have on the side.
That's another thing. You own snakes.
Okay.
You understand when I was talking about dreams?
Well, yeah, but what I was saying, though, is the dream that I had recently, okay, was my snakes. I have two snakes, right? And they
you
were
a yellow one.
What's so, that?
You should get a yellow one.
A yellow one?
Uh-huh.
Well, the thing was that I found weird is that I had this dream, and my snakes, Astrid and Alf, that's their names, they were in the dream. They were there. I know both of my snakes, you know, what they look like, obviously, very well. And they were in the dream, okay? And I was bitten by both of them in this particular dream. Now, I've heard the opinions or what you guys have to say about being bitten in a dream by a snake, but what about, I mean, these were familiar pets of mine. Would that have any type of ramification on that?
No, because what I was saying before was sometimes you could dream about people that are around you because they're around you, you know, and something, you know, you're thinking about the snake or you're thinking about a person. Or you're watching TV, or you saw a movie, or something's bothering you at work, you're thinking about your dog, and then you have a dream about your dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of times it's self-consciousness; it's not intuitive.
Okay, so I mean that it's the same thing. It don't matter if I know what who those animals are or not. It's the same outcome.
It doesn't mean that your snakes are going to hurt you.
Oh, okay. I wasn't too worried about that.
Yeah.
They've never bitten me yet, so I mean, and physically they've never really bitten me. That's why I found it kind of weird. And then when we brought this up, I was like, oh, okay. And it is just there's two. I mean, health is one thing, and there's also relationships that has to do with the snake in dreams.
Right.
Okay, that's very interesting with that. Homie, are you still there?
Yeah, we have your friend Sherry asked about a dream. What about losing your teeth in a dream? What does that mean?
That means money.
Oh, it does? Oh. We won't go there, right, Jill? We don't want to go there right now. I'm losing my teeth. I got to get new sets of teeth in very soon. No, I'm going to come into money. Good. That's nice to know.
That means money.
I had to make a laugh. We have another lady person in there. Is there Mr. Jeff Riviera? Is there a way to connect to my best friend who passed, Benjamin? Yeah, there's a way to connect to him all the time. You could talk to psychics like us here. What did you want to know about your friend Benjamin? You want to somebody want to answer him about Benjamin? His friend, is he available to talk to or what? I had a ghost experience with Benjamin where he opened my door and sat on my bed. That's what he's stating. Eric, do you want to go there?
Say it again.
Did you read Mr. Jeff?
No, I stood from a distance. I was grabbing something.
Oh, I caught you off the line. Okay, I apologize.
Sorry.
We should have been a commercial break. Mr. Jeff Riviera. Is there a way to connect to my best friend who passed, Benjamin? I had a ghost experience with Benjamin where he opened my door and sat on my bed. It scared me to death.
Oh, I love that. Because we're not used to that. You know, we're used to seeing someone pass away and they're gone and not seeing the body. And he's, as far as I understand it, I want to say that I feel like he has come to visit and say hello. And that he's around him when he thinks about him. And is he around him? Yeah, I got the feeling he does go around him, but not as often as you expect him to. But only comes around when he decides to think about him, or especially in the evening. Because, you know, most of the time, the work that I do, when you work it late at night, spirits are coming around more often and stronger because it's peace, more peaceful. And they like to make the rounds visiting their loved ones. I feel strongly that this man does come around him, and there's actually another woman that comes around him too at night and visits him too. And she likes caressing his hair, and especially keeps him peaceful. It makes him feel good.
Hmm.
Jeff, did you hear that, Jeff? I hope he did.
Well, I'm pretty sure he did. Hopefully he did.
Yeah.
We have to say that, yes, dreams, dreams are very well understood with people of, with prophecy as well. Many of people have had dreams about future events that have taken place, and dreams do play a role in a lot of different things out there in life. So it's how we have to read them, understand them, and interpret them in many different ways. Anybody else have anything else to comment about?
Well, I got one to tell you guys.
Yes.
Has anybody ever had Nostradamus pay them a visit?
Do we ever have Nostradamus ever pay us a visit?
Yeah, in dreams.
Not my dreams, no. I wish he would have. Maybe he does visit me here occasionally, but I don't get him in dreams. That's for sure.
Because basically what people here are talking about, you know, like ghosts and dreams, that used to happen quite often for me for years. I used to see spirits and dreams, people that, you know, I wasn't sure what a ghost was supposed to look like. This is many years ago when I was quite young. So all you'd see the edge of light for someone who took form but never a full figure, like never see a eyes, nose, and mouth. And then down the road you start seeing full figures of people that are passed over. They'll come and walk up to you and approach you in a dream. And they're just saying hello and moving on. So that happens quite often. So as long as what you practice in the
people should be scared of ghosts, because ghosts are good. They're not, you know, a lot of times people are scared of that.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be.
No, this is a very common thing that just people like us that have passed over.
Yeah.
And we've been Hollywoodized by it so much that the young ones are so used to the idea of thinking they're supposed to have a decapitated head and blood and the gore and all that. It doesn't exist. That does not exist. You only know the person by what they look like. They take form of a human form because that's their memory. And they come to you for a reason, with love and light. And you may have the odd one that may be upset and angry because you're walking into a territory that they don't know you and you don't know them. But other than that, it's very normal.
It's so true, because when I do these haunted places, it's really not haunted, you know. They're ghosts that are, you know, sometimes they're trapped. They can't leave.
Yeah.
And when someone walks in and tries to bring, you know, these people and communicate with them, you know, sometimes they're scared, you know, but they would never hurt you. They would never haunt you. They just give you messages.
Yeah.
I've had that happen many times.
Homie?
Yeah, I was going to say something.
Oh, and also,
you
know, I want to say one thing. With this Miami Ink show, I've never seen the show before, but the person that sat in front of me that I was talking with, she does portraits on the body, you know, like on your body, of little children and people that have passed. It's amazing. These artists are so amazing, and she's very intuitive, and she does portraits of, you know, children that have passed that the family wants them to be tattooed on their arms. And it's so amazing. You got to watch out for this show. It's just a really neat show from what I hear. And, you know, this is something Tommy, you heard me talk about this one thing because on my show, that there was this gentleman that they sent to see me, and he was from California. And before we taped the show, and he came to see me for a reading, and we were, you know, we were talking, and I was doing a reading for him, and I kept saying to him about the Navy SEALs, and he goes, I got them tattooed on my chest, and I said, you lost your mother and your father, and he said, yes, I did, and he wanted to know about love, but we got into the thing about losing his parents. And so he says, Jill, you know, I want to know if I'm Jewish. And I said, you're not Jewish, you're Catholic. He goes, I don't know, for some reason my ancestors, I feel like I'm Jewish. You know, I want to check to see if I am. And I said, believe me, you are not Jewish. Nothing's wrong with not being Jewish, you know, if you were Jewish, but I don't see you Jewish, I see you being Catholic. So he's putting, you know, the money down on the table, and in big red print, the last $20 bill that was on there, it said, he goes, Jill, are you sure I'm not Jewish? I said, listen, your parents would be turning in their grave right now because they're Catholic, and they were very Catholic. They were very much into church. They're very into the Navy, and you are not Jewish. And then on the top of the $20 bill, it said, Jesus is our Lord, in red print. Was that a sign or what?
Oh, okay. I would say.
Do you guys get that or not?
I get it.
Yep, I heard it.
Okay. In red print, it said, Jesus is our Lord on the left, so I gave him the 20 to keep. You know, because, I mean, that was a sign. He goes, okay, I believe I am not Jewish now. You know? But, you know, those are signs as well. It doesn't have to be just in dreams. It doesn't just have to be in full figure. You know?
Sometimes it maybe also relates to that in a past life he may have been Jewish.
That's right.
But
you're
not as far as a related situation in family.
I believe that very much because in past lives, I do believe in past lives, and there are many times that a lot of times people don't finish a relationship in a past life and they bring it into this life until it's finished so it doesn't go back into another life or anything. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we covered enough on dreams.
I think a lot of people love to talk about dreams. You know, a lot of people dream so many different things and so many aspects in their lives, and I'm glad we did cover it because now the message got out.
Yes.
I'm still with you at 8 o'clock. I didn't go to the party, homie.
Yeah, I know. It's been so interesting. Thank you, Jill.
Right? I'm going to get so bashed by not going to this party.
Oh.
Well, when did she invite you? Did she invite you already knowing that you were supposed to be on this show tonight?
No. No.
No? Oh, okay.
No, but it's her 60th birthday, and
I told you she should have gone and taken
her
You should be in Boca, you see. I told you, get up there early, do a half hour, do an hour of the show, and we'll let you go to do your party. Victor left for it after an hour. We didn't discuss Notre Dame as well as I would have liked to with him, but that's besides the point. Yeah.
I did make a comment earlier. I did make a comment earlier. Well, I thought Scott Christensen actually left early, but it was actually Victor Baines that left early, so I want to retract that statement.
Yes. Well, Scott's still with us.
Yeah,
right?
Scott's still with us.
You bet. I'm still here.
I said that earlier. Go ahead, homie.
Thanks for staying, Jill. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm going to stay for like 15 more minutes, and then I probably have to get dressed to go.
Okay. I can hear you, Jill. You just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes.
I'm enjoying you all so much. You know, that shows how much I'm here, right?
That's right.
Well, we certainly
and
appreciate
before
it.
Before Jill goes and everything, let's just touch on the aspects of other people out there when they talk about prophecies of Nostradamus, the Bible Code, or the Hopi Indians, and the Mayans, and they all want to talk about the end of the world. Well, let's put this to rest for everybody. Don't get scared. It's not going to be the end of the world. There's a lot of changes that are going to happen for the better of mankind. It's going to be a peaceful scenario, and peaceful scenario in the future. You just got to all work together out there and make life for the betterment of each other. And I think, you know, with the talk about the end of the world, people think, well, it's the end of the world, you know, throw their lives to the wind. That's not the way to be. Don't create havoc out there thinking it's the end of the world. It's not, so.
No, it's not.
You know, there's many years to come yet, okay?
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be the end of the world. That's for sure.
Could
yeah, anytime I tune into the distant future, like a decade or 20 years into the future, I always sense that there are still people living on the earth, many of us on this radio station and listening to it included.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jill says, you know, there's an awful lot of good stuff that I see happening. Tremendous amount of... Go ahead.
You know, there is something, you know, we do, you know, eventually we will have to discuss because, you see, you do have God involved. And God has had written down prophecies pertaining to something like that. And, you know, there's been many other psychics, and I have read about them. Yes.
Homie, God did not write the prophecy. Man did.
No, he didn't write. A man did, but man did write for him, you know. No, God or the spirit can't sit down and pick up a pen and write, I gather, you know. I mean, I've written down some things that have been that has been given unto me, that has been told to me. So, you know, we all get contacts from different spirits. And, you know, a lot of people have talked about another planet out there. But you see, that's something way in the future, and you shouldn't be concerned. People of today should only be concerned about our next generation and the generation after that. And if he does decide to do something to cleanse this planet, we will all know about it. And it's there not to create havoc or make people scared, because he even states that he would save everybody that would believe him. So,
well, here's something.
Something in the future. Go ahead.
Here's one thing. This is one of my answers, is this. Anybody who's become so intuitive, and there have been a lot more people coming to me now asking about their intuition, asking about why they're starting to see these events starting to happen, and they don't know what to do about it, so they come to me or they go to somebody else. I would send them to whoever's ever able to meet, and they want to find out why they're feeling these emotions, because people are beginning to open up. Now, if people are knowing and begin to accept the fact that they are very intuitive themselves, God would not waste his time on them saying there's an event about to happen, the world coming to an end. They wouldn't do that. Why would somebody want to learn about something that they shorten their lives? So that means he's basically, the message is for you to know that life is going to constantly continue, that it's not going to end, that you got more to work on.